for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, May the 27th, 1994. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Well, I think everybody's ready for Brother George Monta. So, Brother George, come and we're all ready. The Lord's got everybody in a spirit of praise and worship and ready to hear the word of the Lord.
If you were to go to Greece to a power station, you would see that they have a word for off and a word for on when they put the big switches up to engage in power. The word for power on is parousia. Parousia. That means the coming of Jesus into our lives in power.
Yes.
Parousia. I got that from one of my dear friends, Robert Whitelaw, who was just, he's a atomic physicist and scientist, but also a very dear Baptist who really doesn't know much about power. But he understands that without Jesus, we don't have anything. With him, we have everything. Now, Lord, we just give this time to you.
Yes, Father.
I ask, Father, that you get me out of the way so the Spirit now can talk to these people the way you want to talk.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you know the questions in each heart. You know the needs in each life. Meet them as you open the word of life in Jesus' name. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Luke chapter 12, 12. I trust this will be a simple, straightforward tour through the processes by which the Holy Spirit installs authority in our lives. A simple process by which, it isn't necessarily so simple, but it's a straightforward process by which the Holy Spirit installs authority in our lives.
Yes.
I want to be able to, by the end of this teaching by the Spirit, to help you see the difference between belief and faith. I want you to be able to see that faith flows out of the Spirit. Belief flows out of the soul. There are a lot of people who believe with all their heart, with all their mind, but without their spirit. And therefore, they have a great deal of energy, but very little productive work in their life. A lot of people don't get healed, even though they believe, because they don't have the faith. Faith is a gift from the Spirit. It functions out of spirit. Soul is the apparatus by which we adjust to one another. Soul is the apparatus by which we perceive things around us. Soul is the vehicle of our emotions. Some time ago, the Spirit dealt with me. I was walking through the house, just doing like I do at Lake Hamilton. Here. Oh, I get so happy. Hallelujah. Lord, this is wonderful. Glory. Oh, and the Spirit says, you feel good, don't you? Now, I don't want you to think I have a pipeline and he talks to me all the time, but he actually does. He said, you feel good, don't you? And I said, yeah. He says, watch this. And he did something to me. He took out all the dopamines or all whatever they are that make you feel good. And I felt just depressed and lousy. He says, how do you feel now? And I says, well, I don't feel good. I feel anxious. I feel guilty. I feel defective. I feel inadequate. What else do you want me to feel? That's what I feel. He says, what's changed? I said, well, before I felt good, now I don't feel good. He says, you have based your experience in me on how your emotions happen to be at any given time. He says, that's an abomination. It's a trap. It's a religious scheme of the devil to make you vulnerable to religious devils. He said, rebuke it now. Get out from under the tyranny of heaviness. Find me in the reality of the living word, not the reality of your spleen. I want you to, I'm going to say children. I want you to be able to help your own children, your own friends, people in the shopping line where you go shopping, to send to them divine unction by which they can come out from under the tyranny of their emotions. The whole advertising program on television is aimed at your emotions to trigger significant cues to make you want and lust and do things. In Jesus' name, I break that. In Jesus' name, I release you from that. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 12:12. Now, it's not good to take things out of context. And this isn't really out of context. It deals with a principle which underlies all utterance. Jesus is talking to people who are concerned about what to answer, what to say. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that hour what you ought to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that hour what you ought to say. This has to do with every aspect of your life. In this case, it had to do with trials. It had to do with a very difficult thing that the disciples were going to face. But Jesus is saying, you can apply this principle to your life and come under the moment-by-moment teaching of the Holy Ghost Himself to tell you what you ought to say. Now remember, what you say is what you get because it flows out of the area of your mind that focuses the energies of life into you so that you get what you think. You get what you say. He believed and therefore He spoke. I believed, and therefore I spoke. Don't say, who will go to heaven and bring Christ down to solve my problems? Don't say, who will go into hell to bring Christ up to solve my problems? What does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. Word, mouth, speak it, get it, catch. You speak it out of your soul. It bounces off the ceiling, comes right back. You speak it out of your spirit, and it goes into the heart of God and becomes part of the energy systems of divine mind working in you. You want to learn how to speak out of your spirit? Close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that the Spirit of God come now and teach us to recognize when our soul is more active than it should be. Father, in the name of Jesus, restore our soul. Yes. Teach us how to say, He restoreth my soul. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Give us true spirit unction, spirit utterance in Jesus' name. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. It always pleases me when I hear the theme I'm going to be speaking on being talked about by everyone who stands up here. If you were here last Christmas, you know that the Lord, I got up with all my notes and things, and the Lord began to speak a word on repentance. And when it was over with, I sat down. The next person who hadn't heard what I said got up and gave almost word for word the same message. And the next person got up who hadn't heard either of us and gave almost the same message on repentance. It wasn't that Lake Hamilton was filled with a lot of unrepentant sinners, but the Spirit wants to show us how to become increasingly sensitive to what God is saying and doing in us. He wants us to become sensitive to the fact that we are responsible for our neighborhood. We are responsible for the people in the row we're sitting in. We are responsible. And that's awesome. It's difficult. It's difficult for me to say, this man's headache belongs to me. This man's headache belongs to me. I was talking with Tom back there, and he asked me if I was one of the speakers. And I said, yes, that I was, and hopefully the Spirit would get out of the way. He says, well, what has the Spirit put on your mind? He wanted to know, because there was a connection being made. And whether you like it or not, the Holy Spirit will connect you to people all over, and only repentance, a lifestyle of day by day, moment by moment repentance, will keep you in a place where the Spirit can flow unhindered. Chapter 10, verse 20. He has just told them in verse 19, don't be anxious about what you will speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what you are to speak. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. It is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. I had a tax audit a few years ago. It was very uncomfortable. It didn't occur to me to take this in and sit and say, it's the Spirit of my Father who's going to answer these questions. It didn't occur to me to say, I'm not going to be anxious. Therefore, my hands sweated, my body sweated. When he said, I'm Agent Simpson, I said, I'm George Fowler. I could hardly talk. That's illegal authority being imposed on me. And I needed to enter into repentance, which I did after a while. And it turned out all right. It was distasteful and scary. And I came under the influence of a Babylonian thing that we have no business submitting to. Pay taxes, yes. Pay respect, yes, in a sense, but don't come under the authority of the emotional thing they want to put on us to control our minds. Okay? Turn back to Luke now. Luke 21, 15. This is wonderful. Jesus is talking. In verse 14, here's something which is harder for me than almost anything I know. He says, make up your mind not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. Deep, precious principle. Children of God, if we become defensive, we set up walls and barriers to interaction that block love and block understanding and block utterance. Do not be defensive. Defensive spirit, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. In anyone here, defensiveness, I rebuke you. Parents, if you could let your children speak their heart to you without you becoming defensive, utterance would come. Wisdom would come. It's very important. A little personal experience of how my son, my very beautiful son, 32 years old, took me to task about some of the ways I was talking to Adair. Didn't even occur to me. And finally, he got so quiet, we just couldn't talk anymore. So I went down one night, very, very late, went into his room, sat down. I said, Monty, I can't live this way. You're too important to me. Tell me. He said, okay, I'll tell you. And then he told me, if I had gotten defensive, I would have missed what the Spirit was saying. I would have missed a way of enveloping Adair in a whole new level of respect and love. When it was over with, I said, Monty, you're going to have to help me, because I live pretty much, I'm a spontaneous person. I've got habits. Will you help me? He said, sure, Dad, I'll help you. And he has, and it's precious. Now, make up your mind not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves, for I will give you what? Utterance. I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist, or utterance and wisdom. Where do we get wisdom from? Let me give you a real good, it comes from the Lord, comes from the Word, comes from the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says, I just don't stop praying for you, that God will grant you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Christ, that the eyes of your understanding would be opened, enlightened, that you might know the hope of His call on your life, that you might know the glory of the riches of his inheritance in the saints. You're the executors of that inheritance. You know that, don't you? Do you know that you're the executors? Do you know that all the inheritance is available to the church right now? Do you know that the glory and riches of healing, of word of knowledge, of all of those deliverance powers are available to the church? We're walking around as paupers, as blind men, as lame and crippled, because we are not dealing with the glory of the riches of his inheritance. Oh, God, open the eyes of our understanding that we might know the glory of the riches of his inheritance. So that as executors, we can say to a person who has a spirit of poverty, in Jesus' name, I release you from that poverty. Father, I open your provision now. Sell some of those cattle. Give this guy what he needs. In Jesus' name. He doesn't mean just for the saints. He means in your neighborhood, when you know that some family's having a hard time, go stand in front of their house and just say, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, I release your provision for this family. If you see a school where you know they're having problems with discipline, go stand before the school. Get someone to stand with you. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, that inheritance which is mine, I now expend on this school. Let the glory of your peace and the radiance of your power flow to these teachers and counselors. It's your responsibility, people. There's no one else. This world is waiting for the Christians to stand and take authority over what belongs to them. Belongs to heyday because we're sitting on our thumbs and on our Bibles. Oh, grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of these things, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we might know the hope of his calling, that we might know the glory of the riches of his inheritance in the saints, that we might know the exceeding greatness of that power working in us, which worked in Christ Jesus to raise him from the dead and seat him in heavenly places. Far above all principalities and powers, and above every name that is named. There is no name that Satan can come up with that can possibly top the authority that flows out of the name of Jesus Christ. Neither cancer, nor epilepsy, nor anything else like that can stand against the name of Jesus. If you say the name of Jesus out of your soul, it bounces. If you say the name of Jesus out of your spirit, the angels who are standing watchful, listen. The Holy Spirit, who does nothing on his own initiative, will hear you say the name of Jesus and the Word, and the Holy Spirit will move quickly, but only by the Word and by the name of Jesus from our spirit. Oh, seek God for a spirit of wisdom concerning what constitutes your spirit. We are mental people. We live in our brain. We live out of doctrine instead out of reality. Oh, hallelujah. It's a tragedy to know it and not grow it. To have it up here in the tree of knowledge is to bring it all under the auspices and aegis of the serpent himself. The tree of the knowledge is this dealt with by our brain. The tree of life is this dealt with by our spirit. This at the tree of knowledge looks like life and is death. This dealt with by our spirit looks like death. Feels like death, but is life. Don't get trapped into religious stuff. The tree of knowledge is the place where the church has been sucking since the beginning of time. You just sit and listen to a bunch of pastors. As soon as possible, they get into discussions of end time or into rapture or into whatever, and the church is being strangled. It's for us now to get out from under that burden. Do you want it? Are you ready? Okay, close your eyes. Father, you know that our hearts long for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. We long that the eyes of our understanding would be truly enlightened. Therefore, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command the blocks, the eye shades to be taken off. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I declare that in coming to Christ, the veil is taken away. Oh, the veil is being removed, dear people, that you might behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and be transformed into that self-same image from glory unto glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Don't be afraid of developing little rituals. Start your day by standing in front of the mirror and saying, I remove that veil. I refuse to see that Land Rover, that earth body. I refuse to see it. I see the glory of the Lord. I see the mirror of the Word reflected back at me, and I am being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ from glory unto glory, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Let the Spirit do it. Thank you, Lord. I will give you utterance. We receive utterance. Utterance. Utterance and anointing go together. Utterance and anointing go together. Take time in your prayer time to get so alone and so personal with the Lord that you can see Him. Take the Holy Spirit like a bottle of oil and pour it over you. No pouring of the oil, no anointing. And if that wears off, you get anointed again and again and again and again, so that anointing flows. Children, you have the anointing by which you know all. You have the anointing by which you know all things. You have the unguent, the oily goop put on you. Now that is not done to make you slippery. That is done to establish you in your place of responsibility so you can hear the Lord tell you what your duties are in your office. No office, no anointing. You are not anointed to be jumpy and happy. You are anointed to fulfill the office God has assigned you to. Glory to God. If I were to go around this room and just point at you and say, what office do you hold? You'd very quickly get self-conscious and slip. You say, well, I know what Brother Noel's office is. I know what Glenn's office is. But you would wonder about the office God has assigned you. In the name of Jesus, let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you might know the office to which you have been assigned so you can function in the body for the equipping of the saints, for the unity of the body. Oh, glory to God. All right, I want to go back now to Matthew 10. You may think Matthew 10 is an important chapter. Chapter 10, verse 1 in Matthew, it says, and having summoned his 12 disciples, having summoned you to Lake Hamilton, you know that you got a summons? You know what a summons means? If you aren't there, you are held in contempt. Come and drag you there and put you in a cage. He has summoned you for the purpose of doing what? Look it. And having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them what?
Power.
The word power there is actually 1849. It's exousia. This is not the dunamis word. This is the exousia word. This is the authority word, but it's often spoken of as power because authority without power is dumb. There's no such thing, really. The authority. He gave them authority. Authority is the description of your resources to meet the needs being presented to you. Authority says if someone requires $1,000, and God gives you the authority to meet it, there will be $1,000 in your checking account ready for that. Or there will be $1,000, whatever. If He brings you someone that is really in bad shape for one thing or another, He'll give you the authority. Darren and I were going up the elevator in the hospital to see our son, who was very, very sick, and we saw a couple of people. I recognized them from years ago when I was a school teacher. By this time, I was already a pastor. And I said, oh, you're the Gorzelniks, aren't you? And they said, yes. I said, we're here for our son. And they said, we're here for our daughter. She's gone hopelessly insane. Immediately, the Spirit quickened me, and He gave me authority. He made us feel the authority. Please don't get this mixed up with believing. I'm a very, very incredulous person, but I recognized an anointing. I said, oh, could we go up and see Susie? I could see the shock on their face. They had just come down from her. They said, yeah. We went up to the fifth floor, to the mental ward. Always, they ask for all kinds of information and put you through a little screening. Here, they just open the door and says, come in. And I said, Susie Gorzelny. They said, fourth room or fifth room, whatever it was, down the hall on the left. We went down, walked in, over in the corner, left hand back of the room, hunched over, face all covered with slime, with mucus, her hair just terrible. This is little gal, probably 18, 19 years old by now, in a state of, oh, extraordinary torment. I took one look at her. There rose up in me that anointing of office holding. I said, in the name of Jesus, I set you free. Susie, you are free. Be well right now. She stood right up, went to the sink, washed her face. Look, shook her head. She was totally, completely well in that instant. Now, I don't say this to convince you that I got the gift of casting out devils. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. I've rebuked a bunch of them that rebuke me right back. Because I'm not as strong. I have to come to Lake Hamilton a lot. They usually get quiet. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. Unclean spirits have no entitlement to temple occupation. In order to get into the temple, you have to be clean. And if you have an unclean spirit, it could be a religious spirit that knows the Psalms by heart. But if it hasn't been ordained of God to influence your behavior, it is unclean. If it isn't under the anointing, it is unclean. If it gives you guilt and anxiety, it is unclean. And that's when you stand before the Lord and say, Lord, any unclean spirit in me, get it out. Whether it's a religious spirit, whether it's an ancestral spirit, whether it's a soul tie. Bill was teaching here last Christmas. And while I was just walking around over here enjoying his ministry, and he said something that quickened the name of two of my cousins in my mind. And the Lord said, he was talking about soul ties and unclean spirits. The Lord says, you haven't cut those soul ties. I said, oh, come on. I hadn't seen them since we were little bitty kids. The last thing I could remember doing was playing doctor. And the Spirit said, exactly. I said, oh. And in obedience, thanks to Dr. Null, I did. And they did, and they're gone. And it was such a surprise. I had always lived under the con, the satanic con, that those things are just innocent little kids playing doctor. Go through your life. Find the areas where you are vulnerable to that kind of undermining nonsense. Unclean spirits. Everything in the temple has to be clean. Ceremonially, anointedly clean. Just remember that. Okay. That's good to remember when you're watching television, too, by the way. Almost always, at the end of a day, if you have watched an hour of television, you need to go through cleansing. You need to go through deliverance. And I'm talking about watching Dan Rather or Don Brokaw. They will give you a convincing spirit of anxiety that will torment you. You get to where you believe the stuff they say.
Amen.
Oh, God, give us the spirit of holy doubt. So we can draw these people to the bar and say, you are judging by the thoughts of men. Get behind me, Satan. If every Christian would turn to TV when they're watching a newscast and say, get behind me, Satan. You don't know the will of God for America. Now stop it! Do you know the confusion that would reign in the news offices around the world? We can do it! Furthermore, we have to do it. Furthermore, we are called to do it. To block that putrefying nonsense where all we can think of is sniffing someone else's nastiness. Watching things which we are not permitted by the Spirit to watch. And this isn't to bring you under condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. This is to quicken your spirits for your need for cleansing. Regular, day-by-day cleansing. The need for your children to be cleansed. The need, before you bring people into your house, to strip them of the filth and dirt. Spiritual. Got a call one night. A man said, "This is Connie so-and-so. A tremendously powerful scientist, physicist." He says, "I don't know what to do. Last night, my son came toward me in the middle of the night with a serrated butcher knife. And he was talking in tongues, and he had this thing poised to stab me in the chest. Talking in tongues, come toward his father with this thing. A note already written saying, 'Father, I've been instructed by the Holy Spirit to put an end to your life because you are not living a godly life.'" Something like that. He said, "What do I do?" I said, "Bring him over here." We had a big old farmhouse. We had all kinds of people in it. A little bit like Animal Farm at times. Stood him on the front porch. And there was there. And said, "In the name of Jesus, I strip you of every filthy spirit. I strip you." We stripped him. Took him in the house. Commanded the devils to stay out there. I wasn't wise enough to command him to go to the pit, but now with some good training, I'm a little wiser in those things. But he then was with us for about a year and then went on to seminary and got a degree in various things. Just talked to him a few weeks ago on the phone. He's doing fine. Strip the people who come into your home, including animals. Understand the power of Satan to invade your reality. Understand the sneaky, terrible ways he has of getting inside. Because he'll do it. How much time do I have? I can preach till I'm done, can't I? All right. To cast out the unclean spirits. To heal several diseases. Is that what it says? All manner, every kind of disease, and, in case you didn't understand, and every kind of sickness. You see, some things just tear out your ability to be at ease. They put you into dis-ease. That creates then the symptoms of a nervous breakdown or the symptoms of whatever. He says, get rid of that, and then get rid of the sicknesses as well. Then he names the disciples, and then he says what we've been singing the last 2 days. As you go, preach saying, what? The what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are going to go now to the area from which authority flows always. It is absolutely unavoidable, inexorable. It happens. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. I love this. Mark 16, verse 19. Forgive me if I take off my jacket. I was talking to Norman Grubb some years ago. He just died a few months ago. And I said, "Norman, I've just read this book on spiritual burnout." And he just laughed. Because here was a man, rather overweight, in his 90s, on the go all the time. No burnout. So I thought, well, maybe he could kind of give me, I don't burn out much either, I suppose. But in any case, I said, "Norman, this book has become a bestseller. It's up in the top two or three on the list. What about spiritual burnout?" He said, "Oh, no problem. You work on your power and it's always burnout. You'll run out of fuel every time. And it'll feel like burnout, flame out, die out, whatever. You run on his power. You never run out of gas. You never run on your own inspiration. You are always in power. Okay? Got it? Now, so then is a connective. If you read a so then, you have to know why. If there's a therefore, you have to find out what the therefore is there for. If there's a so then there, you have to find out what the so then there is there for. All right, we'll get there in just a minute. So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and did what? Set down at the right hand of God. If you have a New American Standard or the kind of version that shows you when a verse comes out of the Old Testament, it'll be capitalized. That's a quote from what psalm? Your margin will tell you. The 110th psalm. This is that wonderful psalm when David, out there on the hillside, enjoying the sheep, enjoying the Lord, enjoying himself, he says, you know, I heard Yahweh, the Lord Yahweh, speak to my Lord Adonai. In those days, he probably called him Jesus, because the word salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua, which is pronounced in the Greek as Jesus. He says, I heard Yahweh speak to my Lord Adonai, saying, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies the footstool for your feet. Until I make all your enemies the footstool for your feet. Until I make all your enemies the footstool for your feet. We are a feet company. Under our feet are the enemies of the Lord. Under our feet. And please, get in the habit of being obedient. There are times when you need to take every day and just stomp. Say, there's another enemy. Come on, I'll take you all out here. When you're casting out demons, say, come on now. I'm going to drive you into the pit. And let yourself do the thing. When you are praying for children or for someone in the church, send by a gesture the power of the Lord to them. I can guarantee you that just by doing this, I can send a wave of the Spirit of God towards you. I can. Oh, hallelujah. It's coming. It's coming. All right. So then, when he had spoken to them, he was received up in heaven. He sat down on the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere. While what happened? The Lord? I thought he was upstairs. He was either, well, how can he be up there sitting and coming in power? Aren't these mutually exclusive? I'm going to show you that he has to be at the right hand of power in order to be operating through us in the spirit of power and revelation and understanding. He says, now the Lord working with them, confirming what? The word. When you're dealing with demons, you have to use the word. You have to remind them over and over again. You cannot resist. If you've got something working in you, here again, Bill, you're not even aware of this. But you turned to me in the Spirit and said something, and the Spirit showed me a whole dynasty of demons that I really liked because they helped stimulate my mind, and there were demons of exaggeration. And the Lord says, they're an abomination. They are of lying. They're of the spirit of deception. Now, get rid of them. And I went back. Oh, boy, did I begin to travail to get those demons of exaggeration out of me. Now, that reminds me. We don't know how to pray, right? Doesn't Paul say, you don't know how to pray like you should? So the Spirit himself prays through us. How? Groanings, utterances too deep to be heard, groanings. A little baby back there, just darling. That baby was a product of that word, groaning. When you groan, you have a baby. Only if you are pregnant when you groan. This has to do with earnest expectations and hope. And you can only be expectant by the spermatozoa of the word. So, when you need to pray, you get the word. Grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ, the eyes of my understanding. That's the word. I take it in and now, and groan. Just groan. You don't have to make big noises. Helps sometimes. I like to make big noises. Groan. 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 Groan for your children. Groan for your president. If we had a groan day, where at exactly 12 o'clock, every Christian faced Washington and said, President Clinton, you will come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ now. We say that the word of life is coming into you. Oh! And everyone in the nation that knew Jesus groaned for him. Do you know that he would literally turn inside out? Amen. He would be presented with his real options. Not the brainwashed stuff that's been pumped into his mind. Don't get mixed up with that physical carcass named Bill Clinton and the principality that's driving. If you look close, you'll even see the steering wheel. All right. Confirmed the word by what? Signs following. Signs following. All right. Now, listen. You got to ask yourself a question. What's he talking about? The Spirit will say, you just read it. And you'll say, well, George didn't read it. Look at verse 17. What does verse 17 start out with? And these what?
Signs.
Are signs real or imaginary? Absolutely, they're real. These signs will follow those who believe and who are impregnated with faith and gifted by the Holy Spirit in the presence of Jesus. It means that the Lord works with them. These signs will follow. Oh, hallelujah. We got a long, long way to go this week. I want to show you some things. Now remember, it says, when the Lord Jesus spoke these things, he was received and he sat down at the right hand. Sitting at the right hand. What does right hand mean? Authority. Power. Sure. We're familiar with, well, he's his right hand man. It means that the power to do the job is given to this person at the right hand. All right. Turn with me now to Matthew 26. No. Matthew 22:41. Please, please mark this in your Bible. Make note of this. Verse 41 of Matthew 22. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus did what? He asked them a question. When's the last time Jesus asked you a question? Or do you think that questions always come out of your brain? When did you have a genuine wonderment about something? Is it too hard to think that maybe Jesus is asking you a question? The authority of Jesus flows through, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And it doesn't mean sit there and listen to George Monta get excited. It means to let Jesus get into your inner being where he can ask you a question. Listen to what he asks. He says, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? What do you think about the Christ? What do you think about the Christ? He's wonderful, isn't he? He's awesome, isn't he? He's powerful, isn't he? He's up there instead of down here, right? Adair says, no, very quick. She knows that's a trick question. The fact of the matter is, he is up there. Paul, lest we misunderstand, and I'll get to this just a little later, in fact, for concluding this part of it. Paul, in fact, I feel prompted of the Lord to go there right now. Put a little marker here. We'll get back to this. You can hold your finger there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. He's in that part of the prayer. By the way, if you don't have this marked as one of Paul's prayers, mark it. Pray it every day, 2-3 times a day, forever and ever. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? And these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and did what? Seated him at his right hand, where? In the heavenly places out of our reach. Is that right? Of course not. You know that's not true. He put him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule. That means nothing can rule over his lordship. No decision can be made against his decision. Do you agree with that? Okay. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age that's coming down the pike. Verse 22. He put some things in subjection, right? He put all things in subjection under his feet and our feet. They are subject now. And it is up to us to discern which things have resisted that subjection and to bring those things into subjection under his feet. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. That process of discerning what things are in rebellion and operating with him working with us to bring those things under his feet, that's part of his lordship. He put him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. Now, Ephesians 2, verse 6. Ephesians 2, verse 6. Read that in your translation, Norman. Yeah, that's good. Surely, he that's just theology, isn't it? What translation do you have, Bill? Same one. Mine says, same thing essentially, and raised us up with him. The word there in the Greek is a big unpronounceable word. That means he hath co-raised us. And the word seated is he co-seated us. He co-raised us. He co-seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, in order in the ages to come, all of the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Therefore, where are you? You are seated in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father, while all his enemies are being made the footstool before his feet through you as he reigns through us. This is the divine purpose of God. And we are without excuse. Virtually everyone in here has that authority in Jesus. You have different gifts. Some of you are still pretty timid. He hasn't given us a spirit of timidity or of fear. But somebody gives it to us. It comes up through our ancestral stuff. If you feel timid, you stand before the mirror and say, Jesus, I rip that out of me now in the name of Jesus. I will not be timid. I will operate on the word. You don't have to be loudmouthed like I am. And I'm only loudmouthed when I'm out here like this. So you can't talk back to me. But I don't hesitate when I see a problem to speak into that problem, the peace of God. I don't hesitate to bind spirits when I see them operating in someone driving down the road that I know is having a problem. Say, oh God, God, I bind that spirit of anguish. I bind that spirit, that problem. Oh, you see, he works with us in these things. He has seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power. That is named, and we are above those principalities and powers, and we are above those names. He says, look at your name. Look at it. It's written there on your thigh, the word of God. It's your strength. He'll even show you the covenant that he has made with us, which is an everlasting, unbreakable covenant, a covenant of strength, a covenant of wealth, a covenant of prosperity, a covenant of healing. And when you see someone sick, you know immediately that that person has just been to Egypt or is in Egypt. He says, I'll not put any of the diseases of Egypt on you. Sickness is a demonic torture tactic of Satan to undermine the work of him whose name is above every name.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. God help us is right. Okay, now back to Matthew. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? He said, the son of David. This is a prophetic declaration, which means that all of the prophetic statements about David are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All the prophetic things about David are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. If it says, I will raise up David and set him on the throne, it's talking about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Then Jesus says, okay. Then how does David, in the Spirit, oh, I love this. How does David then in the Spirit? Can you imagine those old Pharisees standing there listening? What's he talking about? David in the Spirit. Do you know how many people come in here and look around and see people in the Spirit and long for that? How do we know about Spirit? How do we come into that in the Spirit? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, John said.
Yes, hallelujah.
Oh, this is a place of extraordinary reality. It only comes at the right hand.
Amen.
All right. Jesus is teaching us. He says, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, do what? Sit at my right hand until I put thine enemy beneath thy feet. I'm going to close with this next one, which is the beginning of a whole study. But it's really fun. It's wonderful, in fact. Turn to Matthew 26. Verse 63. This will just delight you. But Jesus kept silent. Verse 63 of Matthew 26. Jesus kept silent. The high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you've just said it yourself. You said it. Then he says, nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter, that word hereafter in the Greek is two words, arti, or arti, and, it's apo arti, actually, it's apo arti. And please don't get the idea that I know Greek, I really don't. I murder it. But I like to know what the Bible says. And I have Strong's concordance numbers wherever I need to know. The word there, hereafter, is the word apo arti, which means after this very moment. You shall see, and this is all in capitals, the Son of Man doing what?
Sitting.
Where? The right hand of what?
Power.
And then doing what? And the coming in the clouds of heaven. The clouds of heaven. I'm going to give you an entire teaching on the power that comes in the clouds. We sang about it. You've got to know, dear precious people, that if you're not in power, you are not in the cloud, you have not seen the cloud moving, you have not had the anointing of the cloud. Furthermore, it means that you must explore much more deeply what it means to sit with Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of power. So that Jesus can not only sit there, he can come through you.
Hallelujah.
In power until such a time as he gives the kingdom over to the Father and said, it's done. Father, I've done it. Oh, dear ones, there is no way I can say strongly enough that the Spirit is calling us to be raised up with him in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, far above all power and authority, and above every name that is named in heaven and on earth, because we have been charged by the Apostle Paul himself to wrestle with those powers. To wrestle. You need to have God show you how to get a half Nelson on those things. You need to be able to discern the principalities over the schools around you. You need to discern the principalities over your community. One day, Daniel, after he'd been praying, fasting and praying, Gabriel finally came. He says, oh boy. He says, Gabriel, I'd have been here 21 days earlier, but I had a fight with the prince of Persia. I had to wrestle with him. He says, I'd be there yet if it hadn't been for Michael. He came and helped me. The day you prayed, your prayer was heard, but there was no one to wrestle with the principalities and powers. And God says, my church has to wrestle. Some of those you can't wrestle individually. I can't go up against a great big gangbuster up there and do it. But I can get together with Lake Hamilton people, and together we can go and say, in the name of Jesus, we bind your power. You power of pornography, we come against you in the name of Jesus. Yes. And if you collectively agree, if any two or three of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it'll be done.
Yes.
It's inexorable. He says, furthermore, if you will knock in faith with your spirit, what's going to happen? It'll be opened. There are no closed doors that can resist the knock of a Christ-centered, spirit-filled Christian. You got something you can't find. If you seek out of your spirit, what happens? Ye shall find.
Yes.
Jesus said it himself. It's a law. We'll get into that too. Asking those questions. We need a time of asking questions, don't we? Why don't we just stand? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made. Now, you've heard some things that you've wanted, right? It's been the word. Do like Mary. Say, be it unto me, according to this word, I receive it. I am pregnant with the Christ mind. I have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory! Oh, Father! 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 Thank you, Jesus. Do you want me to dismiss them, or do you want me to bless the food? Jesus, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray, he said, say, Father. 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 Our Father. Just with me, say, Father. Father. Again. Father. Again. Father! Father! You will break every bastard spirit around by saying, Father, Father, Father. You will be loosed from the grip of human stuff by saying, Father, you're my Father, you're my Father. Oh, Father! One more time like you really mean it. Father, Father! Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we want you to enjoy this meal. We want you to bless the meal to our use and this word to our lives and to the life of the body of Christ. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give someone a love and a hug. Now, except me, I'm too hot.
At 1:15, all the ladies go upstairs. 1:15, all the ladies go upstairs right over your head. All the men come over here by the fireplace. And 1:15. Okay, we'll look for you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.